Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Pastor and author Arianne Braithwaite Lane says, every person is a pilgrim journeying to a sacred place. Her own journey has included both celebration and loss. She grew up in Sioux Falls and decided to go to law school. That is, until God nudged her toward ministry. Now she celebrates the launch of a new book. It's called Ash and Starlight, Prayers for the Chaos and Grace of Daily Life. In it, she offers prayers, both contemplative and honest, prayers for centering, prayers for waiting, prayers for struggle. You can also find her writing on her blog. It's also called Ash and Starlight, and she's joining us here inside the Kirby Family Studio and SDPB Sioux Falls Studio. Arianne, welcome. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's such a gift to be here, Lori. Thank you so much for this privilege.
And you've had such a great homecoming in Sioux Falls at Zambros at First Presbyterian Church, where you were baptized, maybe even?
Yes. People said they remember me coming in a stroller, so it's been many years.
And this is a book of you know, there's you know, a sort of grounding material in the beginning and the end, but largely the content of it is prayer.
Yes.
And it has meant so much to me to sort of, because prayer is one of those things, it's kind of easy to pray for, you know, safe journey. We've got a storm coming through.
Right.
Pray for a loved one, God to watch over them. But there's a lot more there's a lot more possibilities to prayer. Talk to me about prayer formation. Is that something that you first kind of came upon in seminary? Is that something you've always sort of like thought about? How do we pray?
Prayer for me, my understanding of it has changed and grown, I would say, throughout the years. But the writing of prayers myself started about 8 years ago when I was in my last year of seminary and was doing some work at a church in northern Chicago, and I started every week writing a prayer that I would send out to our congregation on Fridays. And in this prayer, I would include the different prayer requests that people had given me during the week and would incorporate those in a longer prayer to guide and hold our hearts for the day. And my hope with that was to both cultivate our prayer life as a community, but also breed a little bit more vulnerability with one another. Mm. And an unexpected gift for me in writing prayers was how that uncovered my writing voice and my inner voice in fresh ways. And I started to see how prayer can be a way to simply hold what we're already feeling in the presence of God, just to be aware of the ways that God is holding us and our experiences and our raw and messy emotions right in the moment. And so this practice of writing prayers is something that just stuck. I continued on with that when my spouse, Jeff, and I moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana, and started serving a church together there. I continued to write prayers with the congregation. And then when I stepped away from my parish call in 2015, that's when I began my blog and continued to write prayers there. And it's interesting for me to look at my prayers over the years and just see how the experiences that I was having at the time of writing them are embedded in them and were a way for me to make some meaning and to find some integration and wholeness in what seemed to be the great paradoxes of my life, great joy and great grief.
Yeah, we see, I mean, most of us who have grown up in church or really even, you know, had any glancing familiarity with the Bible, we see people in the Bible, you know, raging against God, celebrating and honoring God, and also saying, why did you do this?
Yeah.
But we sometimes can forget that they're real people because we're looking at the big picture of Bible story. What does it mean for us today? These are human beings having an intensely human experience and connecting with the divine. Why does it matter that we still... And I want to talk about this Chalice Press is a part of a series of young female clergy.
Yes.
You know, bringing those voices out into the world. You're part of this series, according to the back of the book. the idea of people telling these stories now, not just what's in the pages of the Bible, but current, current writers expressing their prayers, their prayerfulness. What do you think? Why do you think that's important right now?
Well, going back to what you said about the biblical writers, the Psalms is my favorite book of the Bible for that very reason, because it's getting to the heart of expressing what's most authentic and what's within us. And I think we need that type of writing and expression right now, because that is what is going to keep us alive and awake to the Spirit of God at work in our world and within our own hearts. Mm-hmm. I think we're in a time of a lot of division, and what I see prayer doing is bringing things together in wholeness, is stitching it together, saying everything belongs. My anger and my rage belongs. Hmm. My pain belongs. My questions belong. And so I think that remembering, like you said, that these people from the Bible are human can really free us in our own connections with God, as we see that we are part of a much larger story that began before us and is going to continue after us.
How did the process of, keeping a notebook and trying, showing up on the page and, in your busy life, you're a mother, you work, you have to eat, you have to do the things that the rest of us have to do, pay bills. Tell me about the process of kind of keeping track of what you wanted to say. And did that change into more prayerful living because you were paying attention and open to this?
Yes, attention. Yeah. That's exactly it, Lori. The paying attention is what writing helps me do. So for as long as I can remember, I've kept a notebook, and they're all in a Rubbermaid. I hope nobody discovers them. But I have just jotted down thoughts, things I hear, things I'm thinking about. And the way that I've done that has changed, but especially right now in this season when we have a 2- and a 5-year-old at home and we're totally in the weeds, I keep that notebook in our kitchen, and I just jot down, they're literally sentences or single words that come to me during the day. And then when I do have more space to string together a few thoughts, I can go to that place, that notebook, and expound upon some idea that's resonating in my heart at that time. Mm. But I really think that writing things down is what helps me stay alive and awake to what's happening, that helps me keep meaning, or find meaning even in places that it's hard for me to find meaning, and to realize that there is always something happening in my heart. Even these times when I might open up my notebook and I think, I don't have anything to say, or I come to a time when I could write and don't think that I have anything that I'm inspired about, it's amazing what can bubble up when we simply just be still.
Yeah. How do you think people will use this book? I know I said to you before we came on the air, I'm going to carry it in my purse, and every time I'm at a function where somebody says, who wants to pray? And everybody goes, I don't know, because nobody knows what to say or doesn't want to do it. I'm just going to say, pick a prayer, and we'll read what Ariane has to say. But how do you sort of anticipate this being part of people's lives?
Well, I've heard from people so far that they've used it in personal devotion, that a number of parents I know have used it with their kids, that it's been used in small groups and in church studies. And I hope it is a book that can be a springboard for people in expressing their own prayers. And it's a place to rest when you're feeling an emotion and trying to find words to express that. But then also in the back of the book, we've intentionally created some pages, some space that are titled My Ash and Starlight. And they're blank pages that give room for a reader to write down what they need to express and what's the ash and the starlight in their own lives that they're wrestling with.
What's your advice to those people who say, well, I couldn't, you know, how do I start? Where would you start writing your own, you know, sort of prayers down?
I think you start with what you're feeling in that moment. And it can be as simple as, God, I am feeling this. Or, God, this happened. And of course, God knows these things. But this is the act of naming it, I think, has such power. And when you start with just a simple emotion or experience, I think you can be surprised with what you're able to say about that or what comes after that. But that's where I would start, is even if it's one sentence, start there and write that down and see what that looses in you.
Yeah. We mentioned, and if you're just joining us, our guest is Arianne Braithwaite Lane, and her new book is called Ash and Starlight, and we should talk about the title of that. You have a beautiful introduction where you sort of illustrate that from your real life. Do you want to tell that story now?
Right. So when I was 31 weeks pregnant with our first child, my father, Tom Braithwaite, had a sudden and very serious relapse of his cancer. And what we didn't know was that he was going to die very quickly after that. And I was ministering and living in Indiana at the time and came back to South Dakota to help him get hospice set up. And it was a quiet Thursday afternoon, and I'm with my dad in the living room of his home, and he starts transitioning. Mm. And he starts describing for me the colors that he's seen. And he says, I see blue and red and orange and green, and there are trees and leaves and flowers. And I said, oh, Dad, that sounds beautiful. And he said, it is, but it's bizarre. you know the critical thinker my dad was, Lori. Right. And in that moment, what I imagined was the Garden of Eden. We ended up naming our daughter Eden in light of this experience. But what happened in that moment was, with one hand, I'm holding my dad's fingers as he's seeing glimpses of heaven and taking his last breaths here. And then with my other hand, I'm holding this pregnant belly where new life is literally kicking inside of me. And it was this experience of death and life held tandem in such a tangible, physical way. Mm-hmm. And following my dad's death, my uncle, his brother, commissioned a choral piece in remembrance of my dad, and he asked me to write the text for the piece and to make it a prayer that my dad might offer. And I ended up titling the piece Ash and Starlight, because within the first stanza of the piece is this line about the ash in my mouth and the starlight in my bones weave together in wholeness. And it alludes to the poetry at the very beginning of Scripture in Genesis, where God is creating the world and creating humankind. And the text says that God takes the dust and the ash of the earth, and then God blows this divine breath into the human, the same force that created these transcendent and pure and powerful stars beyond us. And then humans become this seamless entity that contains the dust and the ash as well as the starlight. And it's woven together in one complete thing. And it reminded me of this experience of holding my dad's hand and feeling my baby, and how we are made of earth and we are made of heaven, and that this is true too of our lives, that we have our greatest sorrow and our most ecstatic joy that can be held together at the same time in this strange way. And yet that is the way we were created to be and what we were created to hold. And that it really ties too to my theology of how I understand God, that God is a both and creator, not an either or that's separating things, but that God is bringing things together. And so with the title being Ash and Starlight, my hope in this book is to help people find wholeness and connection in their own lives and in their own hearts and in the places where it's hard to put things together. It's hard to put the grace and the chaos together.
Are you grateful? And that moment, and there's, you know, a million moments with your dad and now with your daughter, but that moment had to be life-changing for all three of you.
Yes.
Even though you're the one who's holding the story of it.
Yes.
Tom doesn't have that story. Eden has that story through you. Do we all have those moments of where we're in those thin places if we stop? And how do you encourage people to not be overwhelmed? You know, how do you process something that huge? I guess that's my question. How did you come to process something that huge and become the keeper of that story in your life instead of just being sort of, you know, steamrolled by that moment?
Right. Oh, well, I love that you brought up the thin place, the thin place term, Laurie, because from the Celtic spirituality, it's that idea that heaven and earth, there's just this paper thin veil between them, and that we're experiencing that more than we realize. Some people think of these as goosebump type moments. But getting to your question about, being steamrolled by the overwhelming emotion, especially when it's very, very painful, I think that it's an invitation, right? I mean, pain can be a time when we shut down, when we block, when we numb it out. And there's plenty of times when I've done that myself in my life and still do. And then there's another way to see pain as an invitation to wake up and to feel. And, you know, I didn't write about all of this right away. I didn't try and make meaning of this right away. I think the best gift we can give ourselves is to simply hold it and to be awake to the experience and to name the things that we're feeling, and that story will come later. But for now, just holding the emotion and not trying to push it away, I guess, as tempting as that is the gift that you give yourself in these experiences.
We will take a break and have more with author and pastor Arianne Braithwaite Lane in a moment. You're on listener-supported SDPB Radio. Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're beginning today with the book Ash and Starlight, Prayers for the Chaos and Grace of Daily Life. The author is, I grew up here in Sioux Falls. Her name is Arianne Braithwaite Lane, and she's joining us here in the studio. It's available. They sold out at Zambros. They sold out at Barnes & Noble. So right now, online is the best place to get this book. We'll put a link up on our website to Arianne's blog. Also, you can subscribe for Monday Manna, which is a weekly prayer and communication from Arianne. Tell me about this beautiful cover, because listeners can't see it, but it is a beautiful illustration by an artist that you admired and has a great backstory. Tell us a little bit about how this cover came to be.
Yes. Well, years ago, a dear friend of mine gave me this gorgeous print of a girl's shoes standing with a very starry shadow, and underneath was a Mary Oliver quote, which I'm a huge Mary Oliver fan. Her poetry has heavily influenced my own prayer writing. But over the years, I'd had this dream that, especially when this book contract came, that maybe is there any way that Penelope, the artist is Penelope Dulligan, that she could create a cover for this book. And I knew it was just a dream because Penelope is a well-known artist and done incredible work for Oprah and other places. But I, when given the opportunity, really an unexpected opportunity from my publisher to have some say in the cover, I decided on a lark to send Penelope an email and ask her if she would be open to designing the cover of my book. And of course, she was backed out with assignments for months and months and months. And even as she said she would love to, the timing was not going to work. And I was crestfallen and took a picture of this favorite print in my home and sent it to my publisher and said, well, we can't have Penelope, but this is the type of artist I'm looking for. And I get this response from my publisher saying, do you realize that this print is actually perfect for Ash and Starlight? And I looked at it, and it was just this incredible light bulb moment. And I wrote Penelope back with asking her, is there any way you can make this the cover of my book? And she said yes. And so literally one of my favorite pieces of art in our home became the cover of Ash and Starlight. And I've told people this funny story. I had a friend over at our house the other day who didn't know this story about the cover and saw the print hanging up in our dining room and said, wow, you already got the cover of your book framed.
Little did they know. And it shares this connection with Mary Oliver, too.
Yes.
So many people connect with her work. I think so many readers are going to connect with your work. There's a deep connection with Mary Oliver that people have. What is it about her poetry to you that is that touchstone? Because once you fall in love with Mary Oliver, you really never, you know, she becomes part of your life in this really interesting,
yes.
I'm not sure there's another, I mean, I'm sure there are other poets, but I can't think of another poet right now who has that same kind of impact. When people come into this space and say they love Mary Oliver, like their entire countenance changes. You can see that not only do they love her work, but they have been changed by her work.
Right. Well, Mary Oliver is just a model for me in how to pay attention. Yeah. I mean, she uses those exact words in so many of her poems about instructions for living a life. Pay attention, be astonished, tell about it.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that the world is marvelous and there's so much to take in and that begs for our awe and our wonder. And we can so easily lose that because there are so many things clamoring for our attention and we become distracted and we lose touch with what is really around us and lose touch with being present. And I think that that is the gift that Mary Oliver gives so many of us and that her poetry gives us, is to really pay attention, to be where we are. And I'm a big believer. I think I heard once this quote that we become what we pay attention to.
Yeah.
This idea that, you know, what we pay attention to is what receives our power, right? And so Mary Oliver and her work, yeah, it is life-changing because it's such a gift what she's offering us.
In that vein, when I think of Ash and Starlight and spending time with it in a devotional context, in a prayer context, and as it fuels your own writing, it would become what you pay attention to. Talk a little bit about going deeper into your own heart to find the heart of God. You mentioned that a little bit in the book, and expand on that sort of theologically for me.
Right. Well, I guess getting back to that creation poetry, this idea that God breathes God's own spirit and life and breath into us. And So I believe that we have the Spirit of God, we have the life force and the heart of God within us. And so the deeper we go into our own hearts, I believe the deeper we go into God's. And I use this term in, especially in the introduction, of pilgrimage, because a pilgrimage is basically a journey to a sacred place. And I think with a lot of faith traditions, there are physical pilgrimages that people can take to holy sites. But I think there is this personal pilgrimage that we take spiritually every day, where we can journey into our own hearts. And by that, I mean, go into what you're feeling, go into what you're thinking about, go into what you're experiencing, and find in that God's heart as well. I think that there's always this conversation happening inside of our hearts, whether we're paying attention to it or not. And prayer and paying attention is an opportunity to become aware of that and to engage in that. It's both listening and receiving, as well as it is expressing and sharing.
Yeah. At the very end of this book, or near the end of this book, you have copied an email from your father, Dr. Tom Braithwaite, with sort of his philosophy of prayer. And having lost my own father, I have his letters from when I was younger and I was away, but I have no emails because, you know, and I just was thinking about what a delight. Do you have many emails from your dad? Do you have many ways to sort of remember some of his thoughts and his messages to you?
I do. I mean, the gift of modern technology, really, Lori. I mean, yes, I do. I do have a number of emails from him, and he was a beautiful writer and expressed himself in amazing ways. And so I'm very grateful to have his words and to have some recordings too of his voice singing.
Yeah, 'cause he was a remarkable singer. Yeah.
Right. So that is such a gift.
And a remarkable physician who touched the lives of so many people in this area and beyond, who came to him. He was a hospitalist, for people who don't know that, and took that job. So he was so passionate about that work and brought so much of himself to it. What a gift he was to us, and what a gift this book is, and your time today, what a gift you've been and continue to be, Ariane. Thank you.
Oh, Lori, for stopping by. Thank you so much.
Take a rest now after the book promotion whirlwind, and spend time in that contemplative place. And I say that because the world needs you to have that quiet place to do the writing that you're doing. It's such a value. Thank you.
I'm very humbled by that. Thank you so much, Lori.